grief to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is the 21st June 2022. It's a Tuesday class. Just to let Kayamita know, coming Thursday, the class is on, but because Chinhao will not be available, and Suyi also still not back yet in JB, so we need to maybe very likely not able to manage the Zoom, but we will do the recording. Brother Tiong will do the recording. So the next Tuesday class, maybe for those who are staying in Subang and around there, yeah, where you find it more convenient to attend the Thursday class, then you can make it a point to join us in the second Thursday class physical scheduled class at Brother Teo and Sister Padmasri's house. We are still there until later, maybe Brother Suyahan and before decide otherwise. You know, they just came back from their trip to the States where they visit their daughter for 5 months. So they had some jet lag, but I was told more or less should be okay already. But just make a note that those who used to log into Zoom, Thursday, he will not have Zoom unless Brother Tiong know how to manage it. I also don't know. Just in case. Brother Tiong say he will try, but just in case, not easy. So we see how it goes. But if you can attend, because the Thursday class at the moment we are having at Sister Padmasri and Brother Tiong's new house, next door unit that they bought and did the renovation. It is a new place which is very conducive, and also I should say it's meant to be like a way place where we can have our spiritual activity. And then later on, for those who wants to have private spiritual retreat or whatever, you can maybe check it out. So all these are available. If you have not been there, my advice is try to be there at least for once to find out and to develop the affinity with those livings and the nature's energy there too. Okay. So for tonight, we will have our usual half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So we are off the light so that you all can commence your half an hour awareness-based meditation. Just relax completely, body and mind. And maintain awareness. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything, just silent, completely silent. And let the mundane mind or the thinking mind continue with its movement. Initially, if you just let it be, then it will start to slow down. The thinking activity, the sankhara movement, the arising of thought, or what they call the aggregates of mind, they will start to slow down, slow down, slow down, until it finally become very quiet, then cease. You have to maintain awareness to witness the ceasing of thought. When thought ceases, find out within that silence what happened. Who are you? What are you when there is no thought? Then when thought arises, who are you? What are you? That is supposed to be meditation. To meditate is to develop understanding, clear understanding of who you are, what you are. Beyond the thought, beyond the thinking, is there another nature within? And what is that nature? You have to find out. Then only you can understand the Mahayana teaching, why the Buddha talked about the two minds, the true mind and the mundane mind. The mundane mind is the thinking mind, condition arising, dependent originating mind. That one is active with the aggregates, whereas the true mind, by nature, is just aware. It's just a nature within that is aware, nothing else. That's why we call it the unconditioned, but there is nothing inside there to create condition. But the beauty of this nature is, from this nature, all things arise. All of consciousness and activity of mind, the mundane mind, they can arise. So there is the amazing mystery of existence and life. Then through this silent awareness within, you know how to observe, develop the understanding, you will awaken. This is what meditation is all about. Developing mindfulness, stabilizing it to be heedful. Then from there, you awaken your insight in the phenomena. You develop the ability to see things as they are. You are not being deluded by all the activity and movement that arise from there. So when you are able to do all this, it will lead to what we call self-knowledge. Understanding clearly who are you, what are you, are your thought you, is there a thinker behind the thought, all this can be answered, can be understood. Then the five aggregates of form and mind, you can see them arising and passing away clearly. Then when they arise and pass away, you will witness them ceasing, and yet you didn't die. So all this will lead to an awakening, an understanding. If they arise and pass away and I didn't die, then how can they be me? And how did they arise? Find out. Before the aggregates of perception, feeling, activity of mind, sankhara, and the consciousness, vijnana, before they arise, there was nothing. Then how did they arise? I know. Then you will realize the profound law of dependent origination. They arise because of causes and conditions. Dependent on certain causes and conditions, it triggers. That's why they are called dependent originating condition arising cause of phenomena. And because of that, they are constantly in a state of flux, arising and passing away. When causes and conditions are there, it continues to sustain itself and manifest. But when causes and conditions that support the arising cease, this is to be. So this is how you develop understanding. You develop the direct seeing, the awakening. Then you are able to insight clearly into the three universal characteristics of nature, of all phenomena. That's why the whole teaching, they are connected, they are linked, they are one. Okay, so with this explanation, I will let you meditate on your own. Remember the four support. Relax, maintain awareness. The third support is maintain awareness for as long as you can. Then finally, then you are skillful when you can be in the state of awareness without thought. And you do the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to develop the movement and the meditation. Do not use your thought. Do not use your memory, your views, your opinion, conditioning. Stand while in the midst of life. Do not let the memory, the accumulated views, opinion, conditioning, and memory to condition you into negativity. So all these, they are part and parcel of what we call the whole movement of meditation. When you're aware, you can see clearly how thought arises and what is thought, how upon contact things arise, then how the form and mind, through delusion, ignorance, create the wrong thought, the wrong view, insert the wrong content of consciousness that leads to evil thought, unwholesome thought, negativity of thought, and how this evil thought, they can be classified as the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. So all this, you will be able to understand them only through awareness or mindfulness. You try to use the thought process to understand it via the thought. Then it becomes knowledge, thought-based knowledge or Dhamma knowledge. When it's knowledge, it is not a wisdom, it's not an awakening, it's not a direct seeing. You cannot understand truth, the reality. You are being so conditioned by your views, opinion, conditioning, belief systems, and all those things. Even your accumulated fear, phobia, insecurity, doubt, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, the scars of memory, all these, they will haunt you. They will continue to condition you into negativity. Then you will understand how you become what you are, how all this evil mind state arises, what are the causes and conditions behind it arising. That's why through the silent mind, the mindfulness, the direct seeing, the awakening, you will be able to straighten your view, to reverse all this negativity, thereby becoming wholesome, beautiful. The clarity born of mindfulness and awareness will allow you to see things as they are. Then you will be able to understand truth, reality. See things as they are, ta-ta-ta, suchness. For the sake of the Bodhisattva, he rightly taught the Dhamma of the six paramitas we are here. The six paramitas are cultivated by the Bodhisattvas, and the 12 conditioned causes are cultivated by those enlightened to condition, Pachika Buddhas. Pachika Buddha is a term which may be interpreted as enlightened to condition or as solitary enlightened. When they are born in a period when the Buddha is in the world, they cultivate the 12 conditioned causes and become enlightened and certified to the fruit. In that case, they are known as those enlightened to condition. If they cultivate at a time when there is no Buddha in the world, they cultivate the 12 conditioned causes. And in stillness, contemplate the mind writing, they attain them all. In the deep mountain valleys, in the caves and on the cliffs. In the spring, they see the 10,000 things begin to grow. The brooks bubble as they flow. The 10,000 things are flourishing. Another year has gone by, and they realize that their lifespan had decreased another year. If they don't hurry and realize the way, how meaningless it will all have been. So it is that in the mountain they put forth intense effort and apply themselves to the cultivation. When they first begin meditating, I will tell you their legs hurt too. But they bear the pain. They bear what others cannot bear and sit all day without moving. They sit in Dhyan all day investigating. What is ignorance? Anyway, where does ignorance come from? They investigate the 12 conditioned causes. From ignorance, karmic activity arose and karma was created. After karmic activity came consciousness and then nirvana form. After nirvana form came the sixth sense organ or basis. After the sixth sense basis comes contact and feeling, followed by craving. Craving followed. Feeling and grasping followed craving. Actually, this one, they mess up the English word already. They should use the word dependent on what condition, what. Feeling condition, craving. It should be craving follow feeling. The English is not good. Feeling condition, craving. Craving condition, grasping. That should be the way. Then grasping condition, becoming. Then becoming condition, birth. And birth result in become birth condition, old age, sickness and death. Okay, they investigate it coming and going back and forth on, and all of a sudden they become enlightened. They know that originally their nostril was pointing downward. Although it appeared that they are facing downward, they didn't know for sure whether or not they face up or down. Now they know. Ultimately, do your nostril face up or down? That is a question you can ask yourself about your own nostril. So they become enlightened and they know that hair grows on the top of their head. How strange. They also know that the body is constantly oozing filth from the nine orifices and that it will eventually decay and become extinct. At that time, they completely understand and enlightened to the continual cycle of production and extinction of all Dhamma. They certify to the fruit and are called solitary enlightened one. Solitary refer to their being born at a time when there is no Buddha in the world. This one maybe I had to explain a bit because I heard the Mandarin version before in the year 1986 when Master Xuanhua came and shared the Dhamma. He talked about the 10 Dhamma rhyme. He also described this, they call the Pachika Buddhas. He said when the Buddha is around, they awaken to the dwelling and became enlightened to the way. They call Yuan Jiao. The other one, when there is no sasana, they can also awaken to the dwelling of condition, causes or dependent origination. Then under those circumstances, they are called solitary one, or enlightened one. he used the Mandarin word 独角. I don't know why he used the word 圆角 and 独角. So that is to let you understand, even without sasana, there are beings who can become enlightened. They don't get enlightened because of the Four Noble Truths. They get enlightened to the dwelling, the teacher Samuppada. So these are not sound hearers. They didn't hear the Dhamma. But they meditate, they silent to their awareness, they aware of this dependent origination, condition arising Dhamma. And through that, they awaken. But in the Theravada teaching, they call them the silent Buddha. They say the Pacheka Buddha is a silent Buddha. And they say this silent Buddha cannot teach. I don't know. Personally, I don't agree with that. Because even the sainthood way, enlightened to the sainthood way, they have the Dhamma. They can share and teach to the extent that they understand, no problem. So this condition enlightened Pacheka Buddha, they also can share and teach. But the difference is they are not Sammasambuddha. So when they teach and they share, they cannot actually create a sasana. You understand? There is no dispensation of the Buddha's teaching. There is no sasana. But they can still teach. Yeah. So that is the only difference. But I don't know why they come up with the word silent Buddha. Because they don't want to talk on, maybe. They are always silent. So not easy to get them to teach you. But the more appropriate meaning is they are called Pacheka Buddhas. Pacheka Buddhas are like another category of enlightened beings who are actually more developed than those of the sainthood way. The sainthood way are relatively easier, but you need the sasana. You need the Dhamma, the teaching. That's why they are called sound hearer, sanvan. Whereas this one, the Pacheka Buddha, they don't need the Four Noble Truths. They can awaken to the Paticca Samuppada, which is the dwelling condition arising Dhamma. So in that sense, when they cultivate, they really understand who they are, what they are, very clearly. And they have gone beyond the Four Noble Truths. So even in the what they call Theravada Sutta, there are certain sections which I believe Theravada monk also, they came to this understanding. He said, he who sees Paticca Samuppada, they will awaken and realize the truth. So if you don't see the link and awaken to that, chances is you can't. You cannot penetrate. But it all depends. They talk about the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, and anatta. He said, if you see Paticca Samuppada, you will also see the three universal characteristics. But those who see or insight into the three universal characteristics, they say, need not necessarily see the Paticca Samuppada. That's what Third Sutta, sometimes they debate over it and they discuss over it, but not in modern. As a cultivator of the way, the Dhamma in Pachitang can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So no need to be like too theoretical or technical about all this type of discussion or what. What is more important is patiently cultivate. When you patiently cultivate, you will understand all this. Because the way a being get enlightened or awakened is very important. When you understand that, you will understand everything. So all this, to me, are not so important. It depends on the individual cultivator, how they arise and how they approach the cultivation. Everyone is different. Every life, when you come, the condition, the causes and conditions are all different. The civilization, whatever, whether sasana or no sasana. Then the approach to Dhamma is very important. But as long as you have sati, mindfulness, awareness, and it's very stable, then you will both insight into the three universal characteristics. And once you insight into the three universal characteristics, you will understand sakayadhiti, the non-self aspect. That one is very powerful. It can trigger the sainthood way. Yeah. Then the enlightenment in the here and the now to realize sotapanashi or sakadagami, anagami, or finally arahantship can be realized and it can happen. Then when it comes to the paticchasamuppanna, normally if they can insight into the phenomena, their mindfulness are already very stable. Their awareness nature insight are already very stable. So they will definitely understand the dwelling. They will definitely see the dwelling. Yeah. So no need to argue. Because these dwellings, when they put it into words, it becomes knowledge-based. Then you try to read through the teaching, like avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana. Then you try to understand the link. Then to you, it's like a one-dimensional thing. Yeah, they talk about this dwelling. So what condition, what link, what condition, what link? From the first link, avijja, then it triggers off the whole chain of thing. But when you realize it, in the meditation, in the awakening, that being that go through the transformation and realization will understand it differently. It is multidimensional. It's not single dimensional. Sometimes the link doesn't end. Then when you talk about contact, it doesn't mean that it must be at the sense basis. Dependent on sense basis, contact arises. Not necessary. The senses are there. Of course, there need to be contact after that. Where without the sense basis, there is no contact. But you also need the mind. Without mind, consciousness cannot arise, like the physical experiment. So the three conditions that manifest consciousness is the sense basis, which is the sense organ itself, understand? Then there must be contact. Contact of what? The mind with the sense basis and the sense data. That three must come together. Then like the physics experiment, it lights up. The lighting up is like the consciousness. You become conscious. Conscious of what? Depending on which sense basis. If it's the eye, E-Y-E, then you are conscious of what you see through the eye as an organ. If it's the ear, E-A-R, then you are conscious of what you are hearing through the ears. Likewise for the nose, which is the smell, the days and the tactile and the thought process, which is the brain, memory. So all this, if you are mindful and aware, you will see them. So Paticca Samuppada can be realized and understood easily. That is multidimensional because when I am in the midst of life, daily life, I realize how this Paticca Samuppada move. Normally, the first link, Avijja Paccaya Sankhara, that one, most people before they are enlightened, they cannot see. They don't know what is happening. But the Avijja are already inside that. Sakayaditi. So they keep on thinking that way, Avijja Paccaya Sankhara. So during that Avijja Paccaya Sankhara, that movement, the activity, dependent on ignorance, you create mental activity. And what is mental activity? They don't understand. Mental activity is the arising of the thought process, thinking. We are like normal people, even in the school. If you want to know something, what did your teacher tell you? Go back and think about it, isn't it? One thing to know, one thing to understand or experience, you think by thinking, you can develop the understanding. That's why you go and think. What happens when you go and think? You rely on memory. That's why that thought is respond to memory. Because you have to recall to memory to create thought, which is thinking. That's why there is no thinker behind the thought. Thought is respond to all this memory, accumulate the memories. So when you think, you go to the brain, the memory there, and make contact. That's why there is ignorant contact. Yeah, you don't understand. So the first two links, Avijja Paccaya Sankhara, also have contact inside there. That's why after that, it triggers off consciousness. That consciousness that arises is like the Buddha said, in the seeing, is only that seeing consciousness. Or the hearing consciousness, smell, taste, tactile, and thought consciousness. There is no one to see yet. The sakyadity hasn't gone in yet. The egoic mind hasn't gone in yet. Where the content of consciousness is not there yet. That's why it's the pure seeing. The pure consciousness without its content. But if you are not a cultivator, you are not enlightened, you don't have the wisdom, you cannot be at that moment of pure consciousness that I see. Straight away, it will condition the content of consciousness to go in and develop the form of mind. That's why Avijja Paccaya Sankhara, Sankhara straight away condition Vijnana. Then Vijnana spontaneously condition Namaru, name and form. Maybe I write on the whiteboard so that easier to understand. Otherwise, without the word, I think a lot of people find it very difficult. So this first link is Avijja. I think double J is it? Single J or double J?
Double.
Double. Paccaya Sankhara. Then Sankhara Paccaya Vijnana. Then this one, Nama Rupam. This is the first of the 12 links. Avijja is ignorant. So the Buddha said, dependent on ignorance, it conditions Sankhara. What is Sankhara? Mental activity, mental thinking, your mental states, mental intention, mental volition. Whatever that your mind do is called Sankhara. So this one, for it to arise, you need to go to the brain, the memory. That's why, dependent on ignorance, you want to know, you think. You create thought process, thinking. So this one make contact. Here also there is contact. You don't have to wait till the sixth link, which is after Salayatana, then it comes the sixth, the contact. So Nama Rupa, you say this one dependent on this, it will condition what they call the sixth sense basis. Actually, what happened is the sixth sense basis, they are the resultant. So what happened is, dependent on this, there must be the sixth sense basis. Otherwise, it cannot arise. So this is the way to explain it. But the text is silent. And most people don't know, so they just continue with this. Then dependent on sixth sense basis, there must be contact. So they think it's a single dimensional thing. Contact, condition, feeling. Feeling, condition, craving, etc. Then the whole paticca samuppada continue. Craving. Craving condition, grasping, padan. Becoming. Then a condition, birth. Then the whole mess of suffering. So what happened is, we think contact only occur here. Oh, no more ink. This one has to throw. Never mind. They thought contact only occur here. But actually, here, there is also contact. If you are mindful, if you are cultivated, you will see. This one is ignorant contact. So it's a multi-dimensional thing. So when it happens, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, this one is like the physics experiment. This is the pure vijnana before the content go in. After the content go in, it becomes namarupa, form and mind, namarupa. So this one is your five aggregate of form and mind. This is your thought. By aggregate or for my mind. That's how the 12 link become multi-dimensional and instantaneous, not over three life period or three lifespan. So all this happened very fast. Sometimes it doesn't end. Sometimes upon contact, here, of course, most people cannot see because most people, before they are enlightened, they have avijja. So this one moves very fast. And most of the time is contact trigger off. Contact trigger off. Because the moment it contact, it trigger off already. So here also contact, then it trigger off. This movement is very fast. Here also very fast. That's why without mindfulness, without awareness, you cannot understand. Then from here, avijja to sankhara, that trigger of the pure vijnana, which is the pure consciousness, like the Buddha said, in the seeing, is only the seeing consciousness before the content going. This one very difficult for normal people to see, to realize, because they immediately from here, they move to here. They create thought. Then that thought with the content of consciousness all go in because of avijja. That's why wrong thought. Then it trigger off craving. This feeling cannot become pure feeling. Because of what? Because of ignorance, avijja. But for the enlightened being, there is no avijja. There is vijja, which is wisdom. Understanding. Understanding of what? The truth, the Dhamma. When without ignorance, they do not create the wrong thought. Why? Because they know that this is the paticca samuppada. Without avijja, this one is the pure sankara. That's why his aggregate are all pure. Feelings are pure. Sankara are pure. Vijnana are pure. There is another one, perception, also pure perception. So all these, they are pure. Because they are pure, it will trigger off the pure consciousness that has the pure content. Then the pure content that arises depending on the senses, because the enlightened being also have a physical body, they have the senses, then this contact still operate. But upon contact, feeling remain as pure feeling. There is no ignorant to condition craving. That's why it ends here, straight away. It ends here. It ends here. And this one, no need to cut. Can follow? Huh? Can follow that? So far, can follow. Good. Sadhu. You can follow me, it's good. You cannot, you better go back and reflect and contemplate. Okay? So, when you have the understanding, the pure feeling ends here. Oh, yeah, I don't have the red color. Okay, I use another color. Ends here means pure feeling. Eh? Here means pure feeling. For it to end there, it must be pure feeling. So with this understanding, you will see the true paticca samuppada, which is multidimensional, not single dimensional, but you need to have very stable mindfulness, awareness, and understanding. Before the understanding comes, all this movement is like automatic. You cannot do anything. That's why you develop habitual tendency. Now you understand. It becomes habit because you don't know how it happened also. It's just like when you are young. A lot of things you learn, you develop as habit. Yeah, you like it. You keep on repeating it and doing it. So this becomes habitual. So craving, grasping, becoming, birth, become what you are, all like automatic. Yeah. They call it habitual tendency. That is the way you develop the habits. You constantly repeat all this through habitual tendencies. And habitual tendency come from avijja, ignorance. Without ignorance, there is no habitual tendency. Without ignorance, there is this, what they call understanding behind. Then when the understanding is there, it will know how to act. It will act according to wisdom, following the Noble Eightfold Path. It will never violate the law of karma. It will not act according to memory. You understand? What is memory? All your accumulated past experiences. good and bad. And this memory is a lot of rubbish inside there most of the time. What do you hold on as memory in your brain? Huh? We discuss it. What do you hold on as memory in your brain? Huh? Huh? Your knowledge, isn't it? Then what else? Your past phobia, your hurt and all those things, your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your childhood phobia and all those things. And sometimes your insecurity, your sorrow, your lamentation, your belief system, your condition. All of the evil roots, your greed, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, everything you hold inside memory. Then what are you doing? You use memory as the basis for life. For action, you act according to memory. Means you are acting according to your fear, your phobia, your greed, your selfishness, your emotional negativity, your insecurity. And you act that way, what will happen to you? What will happen to you? Suffering will follow you. Well, these are all the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why acting according to memory is not acting at all. That is what Jay Krishnamurti came to realize too. And this is what the teaching is all about. You cannot act according to memory. But human being has only one instrument before they become enlightened. They don't have wisdom. So they use the thought process to act. And what is thought? Respond to memory. That's why they keep on acting according to memory. If you don't act according to memory, what else can you use for action? Ask yourself. How should you act if you don't use memory? Can you act without memory? That is an easier question. Yeah? Most of you, before you become enlightened, before you have the Dhamma, you can't. You need memory to act. But from there, you have your views, opinion, and conditioning that enable you to act. You understand? Because you are so conditioned. That's why habitual tendency, everything. Your belief system, Buddhist, Christian, Islam, Muslim, or whatever. Then from there, you act. You're bias, your prejudice, your duality, all you create through your memory, your views, opinion, and conditioning. If you act according to that, you know it's dead end road. But these are evil roots, wrong thought. Thought that divide, that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, conflict, argument, war, and all these things. So how should we act then? We have to act according to our understanding, which is wisdom. Following what? The teaching, the Dhamma way, the Noble Eightfold Path. That is what the Buddha's teaching is all about. But nobody talk about action. They teach you right action, right speech, right thought. But what is right action? They never teach. They say right according to what you know through the Dhamma knowledge. That is not right. That is conventional truth, relative truth. Right according to the nature's law that governs life and existence. That's why it has to be the truth. Which means it has to be the spiritual law that governs life and existence. The law of karma, the law of mind. The law of truth, not your truth, not my truth. Nature's truth. Truth is. That's why the isness of things. Ta-ta-ta, suchness. See things as they are. That's the way things are. That is ta-ta-ta, suchness. All the teachings are related if you understand. You don't understand, they are like very scattered, different. Every topic is like different topic. Okay, so hopefully with this, yeah, I hope today you all can develop better understanding. Okay, so this is what the actual Paticca Samuppada is all about. So when the Paticca Buddha realized this, you think they don't know how to teach. They definitely know how to teach, understand, except that they don't have a sasana. That's why I don't understand why they call them the silent Buddha. Maybe they don't want to talk. That's why they are called the silent one. But the word Paticca Buddha is a better word. Paticca means they are beyond the sainthood, beyond the arahant. That's why they are called Paticca Buddhas. They awaken not based on Four Noble Truths, but based on realization of the 12 ways. When the sasana is there, they also can awaken. Without the sasana, they also can awaken. But these are cultivators of the way that develop their own understanding. They don't depend on others. That's why it's called the Paticca Buddha. The word Buddha is behind. Whereas you realize the sainthood, they never say Sotapanna Buddha. Never. Sotapanna or Sakadagami, Anagami or Arahant. You realize, no? But Paticca, they put the word Buddha at the back. It's actually not easy to be a Paticca Buddha. You must have mindfulness, awareness. You must realize that true nature within the true mind in order to awaken. Okay? Oh, 9:50 already. I supposed to end 9:30 latest for our second session. Okay, we will go back to just now the sharing. I will mark that page. Where were we? Okay, I think up there, they certify to the fruit and call solitary Buddha. Correct. We are there. Wait, I mark that page. So now we will stop here, page 301. Then we will open up for our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question you may have.
Well, I don't have anything to share. Maybe perhaps a little bit, no question also. Maybe a small confession and maybe tell a story. How I got started with all this cultivation and all that. A confession that I've not been very diligent. I don't really sit down and meditate, you know, for long hours. No, but I do, I find that I do like to sit down in quiet corners. When I'm free, sit there, relax. But sometimes it's like contemplation.
You remember, very good.
I also do that in office.
Yeah.
You know, when you're doing work, you just sit around, relax. Sometimes work doesn't get done.
Yeah.
For many hours, many days. But when it comes, it just gets done. You know, that kind of thing. So, when I reflected on how I got to all this cultivation, you know, when I was, when we started a family with Thomas Rick, the kids came, you know. So, she's into Buddhism for a long time. So, I used to fetch them to Sunday school. But I never really got this Buddhism. All the talks are nice, you know, very profound, but somehow doesn't click. It's pieces here and there. Doesn't really connect. So that's what I was like. I just do my duty, take them to all these classes and all. Until one day, about 10 years ago, her mother was, you know, passing on. So she was lying in bed, about to go. Her system was shutting down. Right? And I was alone in the room with her. I look at her, look at her eyes. You know, you can see the soul.
So
at that time, you make a contact, is it? You know, she can't talk, she can't do anything.
Yeah.
But she can still move her hand. You look inside, it's like there's consciousness and the body is like two separate things you cannot understand.
Yes.
So that's where I got started to like so-called try to find answers.
Find answers, yeah. The search begins.
It made me curious.
Yeah.
What is that thing inside us?
Yeah.
And what is this body?
Yeah.
So one fine day, somebody, or rather when I attended some of these talks, they were organizing a retreat. So they invited me to join. So I said, okay, let's go, you know, do meditation. Everybody speak about meditation, you know. So I told myself, hey, just take it as an experiment. You know, I'm a science student. Just got to try things and see for yourself how things develop, what it is, you know, before you even commit yourself to all these things. And it is from there that I find that meditation, it does have some impact, you know. What it is, I do not know. And they teach you all sorts of things, noting, rising, falling. And myself is one of those who don't really follow teachers.
Very good.
Ask me to do nothing. I focus, very tiring. So I just relax.
Very good.
Then things just happen. You know, the mind is just brighten up. You don't know what it is. And then tears start coming out. You don't know what it is. And then, in fact, one teacher also advises don't meditate in the dark. Why is that? So I did it. One day, just sit there, night time alone, just meditate in the dark, everything switch off. Scary. Very scary. Things come up, touch you only. You know, all those.
These
things come up.
The fear.
Fear comes out.
Fear of the unknown and all those.
Fear comes out. It just caught hold of you The hair all stop pulling. It's really like somebody pulling your hair. But you just let it be. Be with it like a currency. Then it will slowly subside, you know, rise, fall. At that time, I don't understand what don't understand this thing is. Until one day, we were putting this
chanting book together.
This Paticca Samuppada explains everything. Explains everything. In fact, I think this is one of the most important understanding.
All the whole Buddhist teaching.
So it explains everything. In fact, in Western philosophy or psychology, it is a psychoanalysis tool.
Correct.
You can say you can explain everything. You can understand your relationship. With your boss, you know. How come my boss like that one? It's all because of this thing. This condition this way. We are conditioned in another way. So all this conditioning basically is manifestation of our
personality or ego, our views and opinion,
those habitual tendencies and everything.
Conditioning,
So you will tend to have a better understanding of things. So in fact, when I interact with people who do not have understanding of Buddhism or things like that, spiritual side, you don't go through this. Explain in terms of those Western philosophy, psychology, how things condition things. You know, there's a better understanding of this. So, in a way, whatever Brother Tu has explained today is very, very profound. One of the most important topics, I would say. And I'm still cultivating, still there's a lot of work in progress. Where I'll end up, I don't know. In fact, one of the things that strikes me, Anapaticca Samuppada, you know, the place with birth conditions, old age, death, grief, lamentation. This birth is not the... my understanding, it's not just the birth of
human birth.
It's the psychological birth.
Psychological birth.
Or the various aspects of themselves. And these things that forms inside you is the one that conditions old age. How you will be... at the end, and towards the end of your life, you see all this conditioning taking over. Karma. How karma takes over. So that's how I see it. I got to understand this thing when I observe how my father progresses through his old age. Last few years, the last couple of months, how things take over. So when we say we are heir to our karma, we are heir to the speech, we are heir to the thoughts that we have. So whatever little things that we say, I'll be very careful. Because sometimes it makes the imprints inside us and you're not manifest until maybe later moments of your life. So these are things that we have to be very careful. And gratefulness.
Gratefulness very important.
So still a long way to go. Still a lot of cultivation. I think we have just got to strive on.
Let's rejoice with a good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, very good.
Maybe I just report one of my experiences.
That would be good. Okay.
This, I think, is last week. Last week, I think last week, I was a bit more mindful, or maybe have this viriya a bit
after. That's good.
Okay. So I was I remember I was lying down before I go to bed. I used to bring my leg up on the wall to relax before I go to bed. Then while I was relaxing, then I remember I was quite alert, but somehow, it went into dream. Suddenly sometimes when we go to a dream, then we dream that we step on a banana leaf. Jerk, you know. Normally when I have this jerk, it will be my heart will pound, But that time when I have this jerk, it's like, I go to the jerk, and then when I woke up, I know that I'm stepping on that thing, and then I go
sadhu.
The jerk, then I wake up, then I know that I'm there.
That is the awareness. The awareness is starting to take shape means it is starting to develop even when you are in your unconscious or semi-conscious dream state. Where these so-called dreams are your subconscious release, or sometimes deeper down there is called the unconscious release, where the subconscious are not so deep. Whereas some of the phobia and all those things, the very intense thing that happen to the individual, just of it, just press of it. Some intense thing that happen to the individual when they are young, it will be stored in the memory, accumulated in the memory as phobia, very strong inside. But that one is very deep. It's not at the subconscious. At the subconscious, it cannot come out. That one, you have to wait till you go into deeper sleep. Then the unconscious time, then it get released. Because you must understand how our body and mind function. Our physical body and mind both need to rest. You understand? To rest is to recuperate. Why? Because we have a life force that comes from our karmic nature. We call it the karmic force. That one actually constantly pounding your heart, giving you the life force. But in the daytime, we use up a lot of the energy for our activity. And most people use it in the thinking process. That's why you think a lot, you study a lot, you drain a lot of mental energy. A lot of mental energy. Especially when you think without clarity. Then all this will consume mental energy. That's why you become tired. You need to rest. You need to recuperate. Then all this energy has to be replaced to what? They call it the normal thing that we take in. It can be your food, your nutrient, or the prana, even the chi within nature, the oxygen, everything you take in. Then the other one is a life force. So this life force continuously arise. And when they arise, if you don't know how to like develop the understanding to make use of it, to go to your nature, to develop the transformation within, means that person is heedless. He is not a cultivator. He cannot develop the mindfulness and the awareness to direct this so-called life force energy to our nature. Then it will be like lost through a lot of wastage. So what happens is when a person lives a heedless life, if there is no heedfulness, when they sleep or when they rest, they dream, the subconscious release is there. Because if they don't release this, that person will become cuckoo. You know what is cuckoo? Like crazy or mad. We have too much stress, too much accumulated fear, worry, anxiety. So all this need to be released. And most of them are at the subconscious level. That's why they appear as dream. Then at the deeper level, it becomes phobia. Not only the subconscious release, the unconscious release, but that one you need to go into deeper sleep. But most people actually, that phobia is so strong when they sleep, they rest, very fast it trigger off the phobia. Then sometimes because of coming, it keep on coming and haunt that person. That's why you have people who have insomnia, cannot sleep. Then you have people who have this what they call depression and all those things. Because they attach and cling on to all this phobia and they cannot understand. They keep having that type of phobia, that type of dream. Or they call nightmare, you all call nightmare. But if you are a cultivator, you will come to realize, because you have more and more order in life. Most of the time you are aware, mindful, you are less heedless. Then you don't lose all this type of energy and create all the accumulated rubbish in your memory. Then your subconscious release and unconscious release become less and less, less and less. Then you realize initially is you hardly dream. You hardly dream. And as you go through that process, even when you dream, it will be like Tammy's case. In the dream, sometimes you are aware that you are dreaming. Yeah, that one is very good. You can be in that state. You are already very good. You know it's a dream. And I will know one. It's a dream. And how the dream start, also I will know. Then how they continue. Then how they manifest. Then dreams, there are many types. Many, many layers inside that. Yeah. And how they come out is all different. Yeah. As you progress through the fourth support, the gateway, that type of brain again transform again. Then that type of thing that you go through is totally different again. Maybe that one we talk later if there's conditions and other people can go through. But now we will focus on what Tammy shared, which is good. Like you said, when he's like step on the banana skin, normally when you flew off, in normal time, he is not aware of what is happening. There is this phobia, fear, and all those things, panic. But in that case, she can be aware of that movement until she wake up. And there is no more like last time, the fear and all those. So this is very good. This is a sign that the awareness has went in. That is the beginning of the awareness journey into your subconscious and the unconscious, the dream state and all things. Because like she said, she was more mindful, more aware, and she has the virya, and she diligently developed the cultivation. That's why her mindfulness improved, and she can go through this, what they call experience, and understand how actually the subconscious and the unconscious mind process later on function. So all this subconscious, unconscious release, it will take you a while, actually a long time, before you fully understand it. You have to go through the cultivation. Then your brain, your accumulation, your heedlessness transform to heedfulness. The stages is a long transformation. Then how you become fully aware before you sleep. And how you know from the sleep how you lapse into the subconscious and the unconscious and go into dream. You can see and you can follow the whole thing until you wake up like you never sleep. Never sleep. But the body has rested. You recuperated. Sometimes you can hear your own snoring, your own whatever conscious movement, the subconscious, the unconscious mind release, that type of dream. You can be aware of it. The awareness is not the dream. That dream is the dream, the subconscious. You can see how it come up. That's why after that, you realize your fear, your phobia all get released. Then you become like more orderly up here. You no longer have that type of brain which is full of the accumulated phobia, fear, rubbish, and all those things. Then you realize your conditioning, your views, your opinion all starts to break down. Break down. Completely break down. Then it's like you realize you cannot hold on to all these things anymore. Where you see the truth of it. These are conventional truths. Not the ultimate truth. Not reality. Reality is what you are aware of. And through that awareness, you see things as they are and you know how human beings become what they are because you see yourself being conditioned into all those things. That's why you start to straighten your view. Then you start to understand them. Then you start to become different. You no longer get unhappy over what happened. You no longer perceive them with negativity. But they are just the way they are. Conditioned like that. Things so many best like that. Deluded people do deluded things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. Selfish people do selfish things. Emotional people do emotional things. All this, you will start to understand. Then you can accept each and every living being the way they are. Then you can live and not affected. Then you can come to terms with everything. It's okay. It's okay. Just let things be. Unless you want to teach somebody or help somebody, then sometimes you may have to like do something, raise your voice or whatever. Yeah. But that one is with understanding. But normal people not like that. Normal people is driven by the ego. The ego. But the ego, the sacrality, they will actually react. They will stir. They will become like conditioned into negativity. That's how they manifest. Then, like just now Brother Tiong explained, he said that birth in the Patichasamutpada is not the baby come out. Understand now? That is human birth, life after life. But this one is, you are born into that. That's why he realized every moment, every instant, we are born into something. When you have fear, you are born into one. Huh? When you have fear, you have phobia, you are violent in it. You panic in it. You are like a monster. Understand? Whoever come near, you shout. You are like a monster. Understand? You are crazy. That's why you are born into that. Then those who are lustful, you know what happened to them? Contact, condition, feeling. Feeling straight away condition, craving. Craving can be positive and negative. Let's say lust. That person become lustful. But initially it's just a craving, a desire. They haven't grasped onto it yet. So grasped onto it means they really, that lust become very strong already. It become grasping already. The thought keep on holding to it every day, thinking about it. Then what happened? Grasping condition becoming. They become that lustful nature. Understand not? You understand not? They become that lustful nature. Then birth is what? When they become the rapist, it is born into transgression. They transgress into physical action. That is birth. Understand now? That's why every moment you are born into something when you have avijja. All your mind states are your birth. Your fear, your emotion, your anxiety, your insecurity, all these are your birth. And throughout the day, the heedless, they continuously get born. That's why after birth, you know condition one. Old age, sickness, and death. The whole mess of suffering, including sorrow, lamentation, everything. That's why when you become there, you actually suffer. You not only age, you will get into trouble. Let's say the rapist. You cause so much suffering and fear, the karmic one is there. Then people report to police, you charge, prosecute you. Then you know that fear and that phobia, the suffering that continue for your wrong action, it is not going to end in that life alone. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. So this is unending. How can, as a human being, you act that way and behave that way to delusion. That's why when you are deluded and heedless, you cannot understand all this. That's why they dare to do. That's why with the Dhamma, you can't do. You are incapable of that type of action. Because when you have this right view, when you understand you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma, you are what you are because of your karma. What must you do? You must take care of karma. And how do you take care of karma? Follow the advice of the Buddha. Develop that seriously. Not just like parroting. Avoid all evil. What constitutes evil? Be serious about it. How to do it? Train your mind to be aware, to be mindful. Otherwise, you cannot do it. That's how you transform into a cultivator. Not just theory. Advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil. The Buddha. Say only. Knowledge. Parrot. But you don't see the danger. You don't have the right view. You don't see Paticca Samuppada, how it manifests and how it conditions you into all those things. And Paticca Samuppada is moment to moment, life after life, every day you see happening. You somehow cannot wake up. You want to wait till death, then find out whether you die already or karma. True or not? A lot of people say, why you believe all this rubbish? Huh? You're not enjoy, you're not sick, you're sick. Yeah? Talk so much for what? Very logical. Yeah? You join them. Then see what happened to you. For those who are cultivator who can see, all these are so clear. Every moment, every instant, it manifests. That's why I use the word, bo kao lu bo xiao si. Yun Chang can understand Hokkien. You understand? Karma is like that one. Really hit back one. You cannot play a fool with karma. You cannot take karma for granted. You must have that understanding and that realization. Then you will never do it. Because like I say, it's never worthwhile to violate the karma. Then you can't do. The precept become automatic, like the Abhijja Sutta said. You remember Abhijja Sutta? That is how you become enlightened. The first thing that you must have is what? Under Abhijja Sutta. You must have Dhamma friends. That is the first. They call it prerequisite for enlightenment. Either cultivator of the true Dhamma or those who have the Dhamma, like our Kayamita. Cultivator of the true Dhamma. If any other Dhamma also Kayamita, then Susah. Cultivator of the true Dhamma means you have some people who guide you and teach you the correct Dhamma. These are Kayamita, Dhamma friends, and they all motivate and encourage each other, support each other to develop the cultivation and practice. So the first condition is to have Kayamita. Then with Kayamita, it will be the nutrient for the second one. What is the second one? You get to listen to the true Dhamma, not the Dhamma. Because you have Kayamita. That's enough. Get to listen to the true Dhamma. Then when you listen, like your Kayamita after listen, then you develop the faith, isn't it? Of course, the understanding first, then the faith becomes very strong. Like just now I shared, the dwelling, the law of karma, all those things. Then it becomes very strong in you. Then only the third nutrient or third link to support your enlightenment cycle, faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, his teaching. And the enlightenment disciple of the Buddha, the Sangha. That's why the third nutrient after you hear the true Dhamma will be faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha. Then the next one is What is the next one? Where you have faith. You will cultivate it. Where you cultivate, first turning, second turning, third turning, what you develop. Ah, wisdom. So the next one is you will have yoni so manasikara. Understand? And for yoni so manasikara to arise, you must have faith in the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha, and the cultivation. Then from there, it will trigger off the next enlightenment sequence. The next one is, you must have what they call sati sampajana. You must cultivate sati sampajana. Sati sampajana is very important. Mindfulness and clear comprehension. When you can do that, what happened to you? You are ever mindful, constantly meditating. You are heedful. So this sati sampajana, which is daily mindfulness, you have to cultivate them. Once you cultivate them, it will bring about one. The transformation, enlightenment, the sainthood way. That's why that one will lead to what they call the sense restraint. You know what is sense restraint? Means you have your senses which will condition your activity in life, seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, thought, consciousness. So all these six senses, you will have restraint, sense restraint. Means you can keep your five precepts separate. You understand? Minimum. Because you have sense restraint. You cannot kill, you cannot harm. You know these are not correct. Your mindfulness is so clear. You have clear comprehension. You are not deluded. Then after that, you will condition one. The three way of right conduct. Your right thought, right speech, right action will always be there. That's how it go up. The enlightenment sequence of Avijja Sutta. Then when you are finished with that, then you are at least a sotapan or a sakadagami. But to go beyond that, which is anagami and arhanji and Pacheka Buddha and onward, you know what is the next sequence or not? The next step. After the three right conduct, what is it? Cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why the four foundation of mindfulness come at number seven. Oh, sorry, number eight. Then after that, when you cultivate the satipatthana, the four foundation of mindfulness, the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising. That is the ninth step for enlightenment. Then from there, when the seven factors of enlightenment keep on arising, means enlightenment in the here and the now is guaranteed. But these enlightenment factors are factors that trigger off enlightenment. Do you understand? That's why enlightenment in the here and the now is step 10. This is the Avijja Sutta's enlightenment sequence. Whereas the other one, the downfall, is the reverse of all this. And it also ends up with not having Dhamma friends, the first one. Because you don't have Dhamma friend, is it? You don't get to hear the true Dhamma. And because you don't get to hear the true Dhamma, what happens? Your faith in the Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, habis. Don't have. And because you don't have his teaching, you don't have the faith, sati sampajana also don't have. Yoniso manasikara also don't have. Then how to have sense restraint? You understand? Then without sense restraint, what happened? The three type of right conduct cannot have. The three type of wrong conduct everywhere. Wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. And this is what human beings do. The healer, the deluded too. So when all this manifests, you straight away will understand why living being cannot become enlightened? Because you don't have the condition to meet up with the Kayanamitas, the Dhamma friends. And to be a true Kayanamita is not easy. It must be somebody who cultivate, at least a cultivator of the true Dhamma. Means you must have the causes and conditions to meet up with the right guide, teacher, or the sasana where the teaching is there. That's why the yellow card, the Bodhisattva way, is to aspire for all this. The right view, the right understanding, and the right teaching. And have affinity with the great beings and all of that. Otherwise, this teaching cannot come. You understand? That's why the Avijja Sutta is very powerful, very important, and it's all connected. So hopefully with this tonight, you all can really go back and listen to it again and develop the understanding yourself. Then become dead serious. No more like, I don't know how to put it. No more like, yeah, still got time, I didn't care, you look at Brother until he saw and witnessed the mother, the father passed away one by one. And now, it's our turn. Old age, sickness, finally. What is there? You must understand what is there. Who died, what died? You must know how to die before you die. Can you do that? Without the ability, you will be trapped. You cannot come out of it. That's why the Dhamma is so beautiful. Okay, so let's end. Sadhu. What tonight? What happened? How come all this teaching come out? I think it's meant to be. I also didn't know we would end up with this style of teaching. So let us rejoice one more time, then we have the closing puja. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.